Hopefully this message won't be long. But I want to speak tonight from the subject, trust Jesus, not the problem. Trust Jesus, not the problem. Which is not always easy. It's not always easy to trust Jesus instead of the problem. Because our problems and our circumstances speak loud. Pain can speak loud. Situations we go through can speak loud. Emotions can speak loud. But we got to learn to trust Jesus and not the problem, whatever the problem might be, whatever it might be. And it could be a whole bunch of things. But we need to trust Him and not the problem. Our Christian life, I heard someone say, is all about us learning who we are in Christ and what belongs to us, and walking in who we are in Christ, walking in what belongs to us. And to do that, it takes trust. It takes trust. And I've learned also, too, it's a process. We have to start where we are. We start where we are, and we walk from there. We trust because trust is something that has to be built. Line upon line, precept upon precept, we learn to trust. We learn to trust. So we learn to trust. Let's look at Mark 4:35. And I think in Mark 4:35, in these passages, Jesus is trying to teach his disciples how to trust him. He's learning, teaching them to trust because after his death and resurrection, they had to walk in and trust him for everything he said. And he was preparing them for that. So let's look at that. Mark 4:35. On the same day when evening had come, he said to them, "Let us cross over to the other side." Notice that Jesus said, "Let us cross over to the other side." That's an invitation, okay? An invitation for the disciples to agree with Jesus and trust him that they would also make it to the other side. So, what did they have? They had the word of Jesus, "Let us cross over to the other side." And they also had a covenant promise. They were covenant people, they had a covenant with God. Let's look at the next verse. Now, when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was, and other little boats were also with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat, so that it was already filling. Okay, so the disciples, Jesus said, told the disciples, "Let us cross over to the other side." They get in the boat, they're getting ready to go to the other side. But a storm came up, and it was a windstorm, and the waves were beating against the boat so that it was already filling up with water. And we all know when a boat fill up with water, after a while, enough water get on that boat, the boat's going to sink. So the disciples were in fear of their life. 4:38 says, "But he was in the stern, asleep on a pillow. And they awoke him and said to him, 'Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?'" The disciples were afraid. They were in panic, but Jesus was laying on a pillow asleep. He had no worries. He was on the pillow asleep. And so they went and woke him up and asked him, said, "Don't you care that we are perishing?" The disciple has forgot about what Jesus said. Jesus said what? "Let us go across to the other side." They failed to trust the words of Jesus. Remember, trust Jesus, not the problem. The disciples trusted what they felt. They trusted what they saw. They trusted the storm and the fierceness of the storm. They did not trust the words of Jesus. They trusted the problem rather than trust in Jesus. Let's look at Mark 4:39. "Then he arose," talking about Jesus, "and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, 'Peace, be still.' And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm." So Jesus spoke to the storm and said, "Peace be still." Do you not know the disciples could have done that same thing? They could have spoke to the storm. They could have said, "Peace be still." They could have said, "Storm, Jesus said we're going to the other side. Peace. We're going to the other side because we have the words of Jesus." But they trusted in the circumstances. They trusted in the storm rather than trusting in the words of Jesus. And we all are guilty of that. We all can look in our lives and see some time where we trusted more in the situation or the circumstance than we trusted in Jesus. We trusted in how much we had in the bank. Our bank account says it's not enough to pay the bills. But rather than trust in Jesus, we trusted the bank account. We trust how our body feels. If our body feels like it's sick and says it's sick, we agree with our body and say it's sick. We've all done it. I've agreed sometimes. Sometimes I don't agree with my body. Sometimes I come to myself, you know. But we gotta learn to trust Jesus, trust the word of God, trust what Jesus has done for us, trust what the cross has accomplished for us, trust who we are in Christ. And trust may start out as in a little thing. Maybe I'll trust God. And trust looks different for different people. Somebody might trust that they can, I'll use healing. Some folks might believe they can trust God for healing without any medication, without any doctor's intervention or anything like that. And then somebody might trust, okay, I trust if I go to the doctor and take the medication or do the procedure, whatever it is, I'll be healed. That's trusting Jesus, but those different degrees of trusting. Start where you are. Start where you are trusting, but don't do anything without walking into it, trusting Jesus, trusting what his word says, trusting the will of God for your life or your situation, and trust his word, trust what the word says. So Jesus said, what? Peace be still, and the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. You can say that. I can say that. If my emotions are raging, and I've said that to the situation, I've said it to my own body, I've said it to my emotions. I've said, peace be still. Stop emotions. You obey the word of God. Talk to your body. Talk to your emotion. Talk to your circumstances. Talk to your situation. When you talk to it, give it the word. Give it what the word of God says. And it's okay if you forget this time. You know, when you re remember to do it, do it. The more you do it, the more you will learn to walk in it. Talk to your body, talk to your situation, and give it the word of God. So Jesus said, peace be still, and the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. But he said to them, to the disciples, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? In other words, how is it that you didn't trust me? I said, let us cross over to the other side. Why didn't you believe what I said? Why have you no faith? You know, faith is trusting. If you have faith in God, you trust God. If you trust God, that means you have faith in God. So we said, how is it that you have no faith? And the next verse, verse 41 says, they feared exceedingly and said to one another, who can this be that even the wind and the sea obey him? That's awesome. That is so awesome that the sea and the wind obey Jesus. Jesus has given us authority. And do you not know the sea and the wind will obey us? The sea and the wind would obey the disciples had they used the authority Jesus had given them. So we have that authority. We're learning and we're not there all the way there yet, but we got to learn that when we speak the word of God, God backs up his word. The word has power in it to accomplish what God sent it forth to accomplish when we speak it, when we speak it out of our mouth. The word of God is accomplished. Let's look at two examples in the Bible of two people that weren't even Jews, didn't even have a covenant, did not even have a word from Jesus, but yet they trusted and received from him. Let's look at Mark 7, 24. I'm going to call this woman a Gentile woman. She wasn't a Jew. And anytime you're not a Jew, you're a Gentile. But let's look at Mark 7, 24 and see how this woman received from Jesus. Mark 7, 24. From there he arose and went to the region of Tyre and Sidon. And he entered a house and wanted no one to know it, but he could not be hidden. Next verse, for a woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit heard about him, and she came and fell at his feet. So this woman that was not a Jew, she was a Gentile. She was a Syrophoenician woman. She was from Tyre and Sidon. She had heard about him. She heard about Jesus. No doubt she heard about him healing people. She heard about him casting out demons. She heard about what he did for people. And she came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by birth, and she kept asking him to cast the demon out of her daughter. So the woman kept asking him. She didn't stop. She persevered. She was persistent. She had no covenant. She was not a Jew. She was not a Hebrew person, Israelite, but she kept asking him. She knew what Jesus could do. And so she kept asking. She trusted that she would get what she was asking for, one way or another. She might didn't know how at the moment, but she knew that Jesus had what she needed. He had what she needed. And she stuck with it. She was persistent. Let's look at the next verse. See what Jesus said to the woman. But Jesus said to her, let the children be filled first, but it is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs. So, in other words, Jesus called a woman a dog. Now, a lot of us would have got offended, and that would have been the end of that. We would have said, how dare he call me a dog? And scurried on off somewhere. But the woman didn't do that. She did not do that. She sure didn't. She trusted. She trusted Jesus and not what he said she was. It didn't matter what she was called. She knew she wasn't a Jew. What matters was that she get her daughter delivered. So look what the woman said in verse 28. And she answered and said to him, yes, Lord, even the little dogs under the table eat from the children's crumb. Okay. It's okay if I'm a dog, but I'm gonna trust that even the dogs under the table eat the crumbs that fall down from the table. Now, we're children. We're children, sons and daughters of God. So we're children now because of Jesus' death on the cross. And he opened up salvation for all of us. But this woman, she persevered. She said, I'm just going to trust. If I keep on at it, if I stay here, I'm going to get what I came for. I'm not going to give up. And she didn't give up. She said, even the little dogs eat the crumbs that fall from under the table. And then what did Jesus say to her? Jesus said, for this saying, go your way. The demon has gone out of your daughter. She trusted Jesus and not the circumstance, not the problem. What was the problem? The problem was she wasn't a Jewish person. She didn't have a covenant. According to Jesus, she had no right to the children's bread, which is healing. Healing is the children's bread. Deliverance is the children's bread. So now we're children, so what? Healing is our bread. Deliverance is our bread. But the lady said, okay. Yes, Lord. Okay, I'll be a dog, but look what? But even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the table. So Jesus, because of her perseverance and her sticking with and trusting that, okay, I can get healing for my daughter. And Jesus told her, the demon has gone out of your daughter. And when she came to her house, she found the demon gone out and her daughter lying on the bed. She didn't give up. She didn't quit. And she didn't even have a covenant. She didn't have a covenant. She had no right or covenant right to deliverance for her daughter. But what about us? We have a covenant with Jesus. We that are born again, we that are children of God, healing is our bread, deliverance is our bread, financial blessing is our bread. All the spiritual blessings are ours. They belong to us. We don't have to beg. We just have to trust Jesus that what he said is ours is ours. That is ours. Am I saying that because I'm walking in all of it, everything that's mine perfectly? No. I'm walking in more of it now than I ever have, step by step. And trust me, when you get older, it takes a lot of faith because a lot of things come at you when you get older. Oh, this try to get on your body and that gets on your body. And so you have to trust God. You have to trust him. You have to trust him that whatever you where you go, you know, that he's there with you. He's going to take you through it and he's going to work it out. So trust Jesus and not the circus. Let's look at one more. Let's look at the centurion soldier, Matthew 8:5. Somebody has to trust in Jesus and not his circumstance or his position that they had at the time. Matthew 8:5. Now, when Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him, pleading with him, saying, "Lord, my servant is lying at home, paralyzed, dreadfully tormented." And Jesus said to him, "I will come and heal him." The centurion answered and said, "Lord, I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak a word and my servant will be healed. For I also am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes, and to my servant, do this, and he does it." It stands apparent that the centurion understood authority. He understood authority, and he understood how authority worked. He didn't, it doesn't say anything about him believing that Jesus was the Son of God. It doesn't say anything about him believing in Jesus' divinity. He just recognized authority. The centurion recognized that when Jesus commanded disease to go, it went. He recognized that when Jesus said for a person that was dead to rise up, he got up. He recognized that when Jesus told a demons to go, they went. So he knew and recognized the authority that Jesus had. And so he said, okay, I am also a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this one, go, and he goes, to another, come, and he comes, and my servant, do this, and he does it. So he understood authority, how it worked. Next verse says, when Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to those who followed, "Assuredly I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel." And so Jesus, spoke well of the centurion because of his faith. And he said he had great faith. Great faith doesn't mean that he had, great faith doesn't speak of quantity. Great faith means the quality of faith that a centurion had. Faith is not in amounts. So he said the centurion had great faith. Why? Because he had no covenant. He had no right to believe that Jesus would heal his servant. But he believed anyway. He trusted Jesus in spite of all the oppositions. He trusted Jesus. He trusted him. And he trusted the authority that Jesus had. Because he knew authority. He had seen what Jesus could do and how he spoke to different things and it happened and moved. And so he knew authority. And Jesus said, what? I haven't found so great a faith, not even in Israel. Israel have a covenant. They had a right to what centurion was asking for. They had a right to be healed. They had a right to be delivered because of the covenant. But this centurion had no covenant. But yet, he knew and recognized authority. And he told Jesus, said, you don't have to come. Just speak the word. Because I know what authority does. Do we understand authority? Do we understand when we trust Jesus? Do we understand that the authority trust in Jesus has, that the circumstances has no authority over us? We trust so many things that have no authority over us. We trust so many things more than we trust the Word of God. We trust so many things more than what we trust what Jesus has done for us and paid for us at the cross. Step by step, we need to start trusting more in the Word of God, in more who we are in Christ, in more of what we have in Christ, more so than we do in circumstances and situations. Circumstances and situations go, things come and go. But the word of God stands forever. The promises of God stands forever. What God has done for us, it stands forever. It stands forever. It stands forever. And I don't know about you, but my desire is to trust Jesus more than I do the circumstances every day of my life. Every day of my life. Every day of my life. And if I lose a battle, I have not lost the war. If you lose a battle, you have not lost the war. We live to fight another day. We live to fight another thing that come against us. So trust Jesus. Not whatever circumstance you're in right now, whatever might be going on in your life. Trust him. What do you do your circumstances? I got some things I'm trusting him for more than I do the circumstances. And I'm believing that one by one, those problems are going to cease to be. And my trust in Jesus will prevail. They will prevail. They will prevail. And think about the battles that have already been won. Think about what he's already done for you. Think about what faith in the word of God and trust in him has already got you where you are, or some past victory. And think about, okay, God, you'll do it again. You'll do it again. And he'll do it again. He really will. So trust him. Whether you're getting ready to have a surgery or you got a problem, whatever, it's trust them that you can get it get your healing without the surgery, or if you're going to take surgery or something like that, trust God even in the midst of that. He will bring you through and everything will be A-okay because God's word will not fail. Trust him. Whatever situation you find yourself in, trust him to get you through it. Trust his healing to come. Trust his provisions to come. Trust the finances to come. Trust the victory to come. Trust the sound mind to be yours, because it is yours and it's mine. So trust Jesus and not the problem. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your word tonight. We thank you that we are your children, your sons and your daughters, and we belong to you. And you have provided everything we needed. Just like the song said, you've made a way. You made a way for us before there even needed to be a way. You solved the problem before there even was a problem. So God, we say thank you for your way. We thank you for what you've already done for us. Help us to believe it and to walk in it and to know that you love us. You love us. No condemnation because we're learning to walk in your way. No condemnation because we're learning to live this life by faith and not by sight. No condemnation because we're in a battle and we're battling against the thing that the enemy has brought against us. Because God, we know that in the end, we win. We are fighting from a place of victory. We're not fighting for victory. We're fighting from a place of victory, trying to maintain what belonged to us and keep what belonged to us and not let the enemy and life circumstances steal what belongs to us. So God, we love you. We praise you. We know you love us and we thank you for that. We bless you, Father God. We bless those that are listening. And God, we say thank you in the name of Jesus. We love you, Lord. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. And if you don't know the Lord tonight as your personal Savior, just it was asked of Peter, what must I do to be saved? And Peter said, believe on the Lord Jesus. And so to salvation is believing on Jesus, believing on the Lordship of Jesus, believing that he's the Son of God, that he came, he died on the cross and paid for your sins, and receiving that, receiving him as your Lord and Savior, and asking him to come in. And he will do that. He will do that. He certainly will. So we praise God for you listening tonight. Have a blessed and awesome day. I'm going to stop the recording. But we will have a prayer and testimonies at the end of the service, but this recording is going to be stopped now.